Well, good morning again, everybody. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. Don't worry, we will return to 2 Timothy soon enough. But we wanted to take this this Sunday and share a little bit with you guys about the incredible trip that we were able to take to Panama just a couple of weeks ago. We have some pictures and some videos, but most importantly, some testimonies of what we did and the impact that it had on the folks that went. But before we do, I wanted to just give a little bit of background because people have asked me over the last year or so as we've been preparing for this trip, why Panama? What exactly brought this all about? To be honest with you, this trip was really kind of 2 years in the making. We had decided, and I wanted to give our young people the opportunity. We had done a lot of mission trips that were focused in this area, and they were incredible opportunities and experiences. We got to work with some wonderful ministries. But I wanted to give our young people an opportunity to see where God was working outside of this immediate area. One of the churches that I was connected with, Laurel Hill Bible Church, they did an overseas mission trip every other year. They had been to places like Guatemala and places like that. So I had talked to Pastor Nate and asked, "Hey, could we possibly join with you in the future?" And he thought that was a great idea. But we wanted to do kind of a test run. So last year, we did a mission trip with Laurel Hill. We worked up at Cedar Lane Missionary Homes and Solid Rock Day Camp, and we had a wonderful time. And not only did we do good ministry, but it was a great opportunity for the kids to get to know each other and even the leaders to kind of to blend a little bit. And what we found out is not only did we do really good ministry together, we genuinely liked being together, and it was and we had a really great relationship with them. And then this year, originally they were going to go to probably Costa Rica with the mission organization that they had gone with. But and I'll explain this a little bit later. They had a unique opportunity to go to Panama, and not just with a mission organization, but with actual boots on the ground missionaries that were serving in Panama, and it allowed for us to have what I thought was a truly unique and authentic ministry experience that you guys are going to get to see and hear about over the next few minutes. Doesn't mean that there weren't obstacles and struggles along the way. Unfortunately, Pastor Nate was unable to go on the trip because his family had some health issues that made it unable for him to go. But even in those things, God opened some incredible doors. I got to know some new people, and we got to do some things that were truly unique and special. We didn't just want to share with you and brag on what we did. We wanted you guys to experience a little bit of what an incredible opportunity this is. In a little bit, Zoe's going to come and share. Isaiah's going to come and share a little bit. I want to give you credit, Zoe. Put together our slideshow that we're going to show you in just a minute, full of pictures and images and videos of some of the stuff that we did. But let me open in prayer, and then we'll share. We'll begin our Panama share. Father, we thank you because Lord, your hand was at work, and we saw this over and over again. Whether it was raising the money that was necessary for 22 people to travel overseas, or providing the leadership that was needed to get them safely around a country where most of us couldn't even communicate particularly well. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this incredible opportunity and the opportunity to share the great work that you did while we were in Panama. So Lord, as we share these things, Lord, we want you to be honored and glorified as well. And that starts by recognizing that none of this happens without your blessing and without your direction. So Lord, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, amen.
Sitting at the stoplight bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. As heaven touches her.
Gus, don't miss any.
He said don't because I have
it. No. I actually did something on the missions trip.
Show your face.
Bueno.
Es tuyo.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. So I'll be sharing the day-by-day from the missions trip. So we flew in on a Saturday night. We got there, and it was immediately storming, and there was thunder. And we found out that May through December, there's a storm every single day for at least an hour or two, which was fun to find out. So you can only imagine how humid it was every day. So initially, the first night we got there, we got debriefed a little bit. We were told our schedule for the next day. So Sunday morning, we all woke up, had breakfast, and we went to a church, which was very unique because the church was also a coffee shop after hours. So it was definitely fun. We had lunch right after with some of the people of the congregation there, and it was very fun to hear their stories, and a lot of them were actually missionaries. And one of them who I had talked to, he was actually in charge of heading out to the jungle every so often and helping the people there with whatever needs they have. After that, we had gone to the Panama Canal, which was definitely very impressive, but a little smaller than you would initially think. After that, we just had a really good day of rest, and we got to explore more of Panama. The next day on Tuesday, we went outside of the city. I'm not quite sure where, but we did a VBS with a local church there, and we did a lot of fun arts and crafts with the kids. We helped them out a lot. We played games, we learned dances for them, which was really fun to perform. And it's really funny to see mixed reactions from kids sometimes when you're trying to hype up something and they're just not really into it that much. And then there's some in the corner having the time of their life. But after that, we had lunch and we actually got to play a few games with them, like soccer and basketball. And let's just say even the five-year-olds were better than all of us at soccer and basketball. It was a little embarrassing, but you can see they play it every single day, and they don't care if it's rain or shine. They're outside playing. After that, we did another round of VBS with a new group of kids, and we did a little performance to them about sin and the cons about that and what it can do to your life and the people around you. After that, we went back, and we just had a relaxing time. On Wednesday, we headed up about an hour and a half to a special needs orphanage. And these kids have so much love there. It is so unbelievable to think about. When you hear a special needs orphanage in Panama, most people don't think it's the prettiest place. But these kids have so much love from their caregivers. And I remember they assigned me to laundry the first day. And they specifically told me if their clothes have the smallest stain on it, any strings, just throw it away. They really want these kids to have the best quality of stuff they can have. And they just want these kids to feel loved. And it is really unbelievable, and it was such a blessing to see how God is really protecting these kids and how they're working through him, even though they might not understand fully what's happening. We did a lot of work. We did playtime with the kids, which was really fun. We did worship songs with them, and a lot of them were into it. Some of them were dancing, having fun. A lot of them are really like cuddle bugs. They just love to be held, played. The next day, on Thursday, we went back. We did a lot more work. They separated us. The females were cleaning windows. Guys were doing demolition outside, so they weren't too happy about being in the heat like that, but they had to do what the Lord's calling them to do. After that, we had more worship time, and I remember this day was the one that really impacted me the most on the trip, because I was upstairs getting ready for worship, and I remember they started letting the kids in, and this one-year-old girl, she was deaf, and she started waddling in, holding her caregiver's hand, and she saw me, and she immediately ran to me, and I picked her up, and I held her, and she was just laying in my arms. She was playing with my necklace. She was doing like hand gestures, but I wasn't sure what she was saying, so I just kept holding her, and she didn't want to let go, but she had to go get fed. And then after that, during worship, there was this little boy who I was drawn to, and George was pretty drawn to it. I think him and George are best friends still. But I was laying on the ground listening to worship music with him, and I remember I started to cry, because I really felt the power of God moving through me in that moment of how these kids were born in a situation they didn't ask for and that might be really tough for them. But God is working and giving them a home and a place where they can be loved, even though they were born in possibly horrible circumstances, but they're absolutely loved. And I just remember thinking, oh, I wish I could take you home. But it was absolutely amazing to see these kids. And the workers there, they're just unbelievable. They truly are unbelievable for all they do for these kids. And Friday was a very fun day. We didn't do much. They separated some groups. Half of us, we went to an old storage unit and just separated a few things. And the other half of us, we got to go shopping in the air conditioning for church members of the church we went to on Sunday, getting them like food and other stuff they might need. We went back to the church and we gifted them everything, and it was really a blessing, but really hot that day. But I'm telling you, after a week in Panama, you're really gonna get used to that humidity. I started sweating a little less and less each day. But after that, we got to go to the park and we had a great time, basketball, talking with one another, really getting to know each other before our flight. And then after that, we got to go eat at an amazing restaurant. I skipped a day, but the video where you saw us on the boat, we were actually doing a tour on the Panama Canal of just all the wildlife there. And they actually took us to a native village right after. And it's not that big of an island, but it's absolutely amazing to see their resources there and how you didn't see any, but they actually use solar panels there to get a lot of their power and electricity. And they actually survive off selling like bracelets, baskets, pieces of like jewelry and that stuff. And they're really beautiful. But we went there and we painted their church, which was really great. And you guys saw, we actually finished that church in record time. They thought it would take us all day. I think we got it done within 2 or 3 hours. And they fed us great food. And we actually got to play soccer with the kids. We did worship with them for a bit. And it was really nice to see how these people are learning how to go towards God. I mean, from what I was told, they didn't really have anything, and it took years and years of this organization to work through them and build them this amazing church. And for us to come and worship with them, I think it was very impactful and powerful for them. But other than that, that was the trip, and it was really just a blessing, and I would truly do that again if I could.
I'm gonna be sharing all like the fun, like the kind of touristy things we did in Panama. So on Saturday night, obviously we just got there pretty late, went to bed, pretty much that was it. And then Sunday was really cool because we went to a Spanish church and it was really cool like worshiping and seeing how like how there were others worshiping in different languages and how other cultures like worshiped God, and it was really cool. But then after church, we went to the Panama Canal, and that was really cool because we went there, and then they have like this whole ginormous movie theater there, and it's like a 3D 40-minute movie about the Panama Canal. I would say I learned a lot, but I fell asleep in the first 5 minutes of the movie. But it was really cool movie, I think. Well, the first 5 minutes were. It was narrated by Morgan Freeman, so he put me right to sleep. Then we actually went to the deck, and there was a ship going through, and it was really cool because how the Panama Canal works is there's like staircases, so like water has to like empty for the ship to go down to the next step, then it has to raise again. I don't really know. It was something cool, but didn't really understand, but it was cool. So then the next day we went to this after we finished at the VBS that we was talking about. We went to this ginormous mall, and he said it was like the 7th biggest mall in the world. It was giant. It was like I don't know how to describe. It was just so big, and there were like stores everywhere, and there And everything there was so cheap. Like, I bought an empanada for $1, and it was, like, that big. It was awesome. But, yeah, so we went there and, like, did some shopping, got some souvenirs, and it was really cool there. Then on Tuesday, after we were done our first day at the orphanage, we went back to the missionaries that were leading the trip back to their house because the Panama, the team, were playing in the World Cup that night. So we had, like, a barbecue watch party and had, like, hamburgers and hot dogs and watched the game and, like, played games. And it was fun. It was a really good time of fellowship. And, like, yeah, it was a lot of fun because it was also only Tuesday, so we were still trying to get to know each other. And, like, and then on Wednesday, we did something really cool. We went to the orphanage, did the work there. And then we went to a place called Old City, Panama. And it was really cool because there were, like in the video, there were, like, old buildings. And it was cool. And we went to this sushi restaurant, and it was so good. But because in America, sushi rolls are, like, that big. But in Panama, or at least the place we went to, the sushi rolls were, like, that big. So Gus ordered 3 rolls of sushi, and it was 10 pieces of that big sushi. And, I mean, he ate 25. And I was like, I don't think I could have done that, but we were all that hungry. So then we walked around there and went through, like, a shopping, like, center thing with a bunch of, like, local businesses, and it was cool. And there was this really cool view of Panama City, and at night it was just so cool. All the lights were lit, and it looked just so beautiful, and there was, like, a view of the, I think, Pacific Ocean. I don't know. Because in Panama, it's only the shortest part is only, I think they said, 50 or 60 miles across. So you can go swim in the Atlantic Ocean, then drive, like, an hour and a half, and then go swim in the Pacific Ocean, which was really cool. I was like, yeah, that's cool. I would do that. But so that's what we did on Wednesday. Then Thursday, we woke up and we left early to go to the island that Zoe was talking about. And except all the kids didn't know that we were going on this cool boat tour. And so we got on the boat, and we all thought we were going to the island. But then we started going the opposite way of the island. We were all like, I don't think this is right, but okay. And then we just, like, pulled up to, like, this little island. We were all like, is this the island? Is this? It's really tiny. But then there were, like, these monkeys in the trees. And the tour guide just started cutting up a banana and started, like, giving out pieces of a banana. And he was just like, hold it out in your hand. And then the monkeys, like, started jumping onto the boat and eating the banana, so it was really cool. At one point, I had the banana in my hand, and then I was like, I closed my hand and put it by my side because I was trying to get my camera out to take a video, and this monkey, he just comes up to me, opens my hand, and takes the banana and runs away. And I'm like, well, so much for that. But, and so we saw, like, a bunch of monkeys, and I forget, I think the monkeys we fed were called cappuccino monkeys. They were like, yeah, they were very moving around a bunch, jumping, everything. And then we saw another kind of monkey. They're like the little ones that have, like, the little mustaches. And those ones were really cool because to feed them, you took, like, that much banana just on your fingertip. And they would come up to you and they'd, like, look at you for, like, a minute. They'd, like, stare into your eyes and be like, do I want this banana? I don't know. But then finally they take the banana. Then we also, we didn't see a howler monkey, but we heard a howler monkey, and it sounded like a dinosaur, which actually in Jurassic Park, I think, that's a howler monkey's howl is actually what they use for the T-Rex roar in Jurassic Park, or World, one of them. But then we also saw like toucans and iguanas, and it was just like a really cool experience because we were like in the Panama Canal, so there was this like giant boat that we passed, and it was really cool. And then on Friday, my group went to a storage unit and helped clear out stuff, and there was another storage unit right next to it, and they were just making this gigantic model train set of the Panama Canal while it was being built, and it was just massive. It was like, yeah, just really big. So then after we finished at the storage unit, my group went to a Chinese Panamanian convenience store, and they had like these sausage things wrapped in dough on a skewer, and they were really good. They were like dumplings on a skewer, but they were like much meatier. They were good. Then after that, we went to this really big park in downtown city, Panama. And it had like the basketball court, and there was my favorite part. There was this like cage with like a little soccer field in it. And there were like, I think it was 3, 4, and 5 year olds playing like organized soccer. And the thing that was awesome with that is you could tell that all of them watched professional soccer because like they were flopping everywhere. They were just like, someone would like lightly touch them and they'd fall on the ground and be like looking at the ref and be like holding their leg. And then the ref wouldn't do anything and they'd just get up and keep playing. But it was really cool. So we went and saw them play soccer, and there was a basketball court that we played on for a while. Then we went to this traditional Panamanian restaurant, and of course, all of us wanting to have traditional Panamanian food, about half of us got chicken strips. And so then we headed to the airport, and yeah, just there was a souvenir shop there, so we got some souvenirs, and then we just went home. Yeah, so that's all the cool, fun things we did in Panama.
Well, Gus was supposed to talk about the ministry and the fellowship that we had in Panama, but unfortunately, Gus had some family things that he had to do today. So I'll do my best. I can't eat the raw number of sushi that Gus can, but I'll try and tell you a little bit of what happened. And so Gus was going to share with you about the ministry and the fellowship that we had in Panama. And obviously it wasn't just the five of us that went, but it was actually a group of 22. And I told you a little bit about Laurel Hill and the great time that we had. And I, to be honest with you, when their pastor didn't come with them, it was a little nerve-wracking because I was the highest ranking pastor available. But the kids were incredibly wonderful. They were great listeners. They worked hard, not just our kids, but the entire group. We just had a wonderful whatever was asked of them, whether it was something that they had done before or not. They all just jumped in and did what was needed to do. And the nice thing about Laurel Hill is they had about of their group of 17, about seven of them were bilingual. So it was very nice. There were plenty of times where I just didn't really know what was happening or needed to communicate with someone, where I was could call somebody over and they'd help us out. So that was a great blessing. I mentioned that we had the opportunity. One of the things that was really unique about this trip, and I've done a lot of missions trips in a lot of different locations, and a lot of times as a pastor, we usually go through mission organizations that specialize in summer trips, specifically for students. This trip was not. We went with Sport Exchange, but this really wasn't a prepackaged missions trip. And part of that is because we spent the entire week with the Gordons. And the Gordons are missionary. They're a missionary family that lives in Panama. It's John and Amy, and they have four kids. Three of them were there and were basically with us the entire time, which gave us five more bilingual people, which was super, super helpful. But the Gordons live in Panama, and they minister in Panama. He is a pastor and runs camps. And basically all the places that Zoe and Isaiah told you about were ministries that they had either started or were a part of in Panama. So instead of us just going to the great sites of Panama or visiting this kind of English-Spanish church that you probably would go if you went with a prepackaged mission trip, the fact that we were with these missionaries meant that we got to go places that I don't think normally you would get to go to. And there were times that I was a little like, ooh, this is pretty intense. But there was also times that I realized that the opportunities that those students were getting to be involved in these ministries were really authentic and unique, and not something that's easily found. So we were blessed to have this wonderful crew of people that allowed us to do, and we were able to do some really genuine and authentic ministry. On Monday, we left Panama City, and we were about 45 minutes away from the city proper, and we went to a church there. And we did VBS, as Zoe was sharing with you. And what's neat in Panama is, what is in Panama is they don't really have enough teachers for all the children in Panama. So school is half day in Panama. So you have kids that go in the morning, and then you have kids that go in the afternoon. Well, what we did is the church was offering VBS for the times that kids weren't in school. So we got the opportunity to minister to two different groups of kids. We did songs, we did skits, we did art projects and things like that. And what's neat about these ministry opportunities, and they were all very unique, was that every day, at least for me, was a new lesson or a new reminder. I'm not sure that God was teaching me a whole lot of brand new things. But I don't know, when you walk with the Lord for a while, there's things you know and sometimes, you know, don't always remember or need to be refreshed. And I felt my time in Panama and the ministry that we did a lot of reminding me of the things that I know, but sometimes aren't always on the tip of my heart. And Monday when we were doing the VBS, I remember I was working with a kid, helping him with his project. And we were supposed to put together this project. And they gave us the instructions and showed us what the project is. But I'm not great at arts and crafts to begin with. And here I was trying to communicate with a little guy who we didn't speak the same language. And I couldn't be like, hey, grab the red one and tie it like this and do like I couldn't really talk to him. So at first we were kind of looking at each other. He was waiting for me to tell him what to do, and I was, you know, waiting for him to figure it out because I couldn't tell him what to do. So, but after a while, we started pointing and looking and glancing. And what was really neat about it is after a while, we kind of figured each other out. I would hold it. He'd twist it together. He'd point to the next one. I'd point to the next one. I was practicing Rojo. That's red. we were figuring it out. And it reminded me of God's incredible love for everyone. John 3:16-17 says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And as I was doing these things, and as I was learning to try to communicate with someone I was having a hard time communicating with, it just reminded me of the depth of God's love. God didn't let language barriers stop him. He didn't let socioeconomic things keep him from reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So we figured it out, and we got the project done, and it was awesome. And he took it home, and he was happy. And we just had a wonderful time hanging out with the kids on Monday. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we went to the special needs orphanage that Zoe was telling you about. And it was just, I got the story, and you can ask me about it afterwards. I'll tell you the story about how this orphanage came into being. It's an incredible story. But over and over again, a lot like Zoe shared, is we met these kids that were struggling with having to overcome incredible odds and disabilities, but we're just so filled with joy and so filled with love that it's an incredible thing. And it reminded me over and over again as we were there, and I saw the love of the caregivers and the attention that was put into each one of these kids, that they were valuable. In fact, I was speaking to one of the directors of the orphanage, and they said, "We want these kids are the most important thing that's in this building. It's not us, it's all about them." And it reminded me, the time I was there, about God's heart for the forgotten or for the disadvantaged. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, Matthew writes this about Jesus. He says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." In Panama, they said, hey, you know, part of the reason this orphanage was founded was that those who were orphans in Panama who had special needs, they were loved and cared for, but unfortunately, when you were in an overcrowded orphanage with 20 or 30 kids, you know, they would sometimes have to tie children with special needs down while they cared for other kids. Not because they didn't love them or care about them, but they were scared that they would get hurt. But here in this orphanage, there was none of that. They were allowed to be who they are, and God's love was poured into them. And this place was such a beautiful picture of God's love, not just for some people, but for all people. And on Thursday, we had the opportunity to go into the jungle and to spend time with this jungle community. And what was genuinely neat about this is John Gordon, the missionary, was there. This was a relationship that he had built with them. He had helped led a number of these people to the Lord, helped them build their church, and we were in the process of painting it. In the midst of that, we got to get to know the people as well. It was such a neat thing because this village was only accessible by water. I guess technically you could have got there if you walked through the jungle, but I think Gus took like one step into the jungle and couldn't walk the rest of the night. So it really wasn't accessible by any other way but water. Every concrete block that was built was brought there on a boat. Everything that they had there that had to be brought in. And it was just an incredible reminder of God's love for all people. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, says this. I didn't mark it out. I'm going to have to actually find it now. Sorry. Oh, I did mark it out. All right. Acts 1, 8 says this. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This isn't a place you would have just stumbled on. You wouldn't have just found it as you were driving around. People cared enough to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what we saw is that once one person in that community heard about Jesus Christ, they started sharing it. And as a result, that night, after we had painted the church and after we had played soccer and had dinner and all those things, we got the opportunity to worship with them. And we sat in a church service with these new believers in Jesus Christ in their brand new, newly painted church, and we worshiped together. And I have to be honest with you, much like every other service we went to that week, it was all in Spanish. And I understood one out of every six or seven words. And you know, when you're working all day and not getting a full night's sleep, let me be honest with you. You think you guys think you have a hard time hanging in there with me? I was like, man, I have no idea what's saying. I'm exhausted. And I'm like, please stay awake. Don't fall asleep. That would be terrible. You're a pastor. Don't fall asleep. But it was also incredible to know that God was working in powerful ways, not just in our community, not just for people who work, who look and talk like us, but God's love through Jesus Christ is demonstrated for all people. And what an incredible experience it was to be reminded that of all my issues and struggles in life, God is just as much at work in these places, in these tiny little corners of the jungle or throughout the world as he is here. One of the things that I love about mission trips is I never want to be done learning. And it's amazing that even in these trips, that God is still teaching. And hopefully, for these young people, they got the opportunity maybe to learn this for the first time, or like me, maybe be reminded of some things that I've known, but God needed to show me once again. We had an absolutely incredible trip. Once again, and I know I've said this before, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for praying for our missions team, for supporting our missions team. These are memories that these kids get to carry with them the rest of their lives. They might not remember what we did on Tuesday night, but there are images and there are memories that are going to be part of who they are from now on. You guys had an incredible part in helping these young people, and even myself, some old people, have wonderful reminders and lessons of what Jesus Christ is doing, not just in our world, but throughout the world. So thank you guys so much, and thank you for Isaiah and Zoe and for Ezekiel and Gus for being willing to take those steps of great faith. So
thank you for sharing all that. Thank you, Zoe, for that video, too. That was very wonderful. And Isaiah, for you as well. And Pastor George.